Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Dropped Call. If you've got cell phones, most people do. Some people don't even have house phones anymore, but they got cell phones. And probably one of the most frustrating things, at least in our town, you would think in a city the size of Dallas, downtown Dallas especially, that you could just get on your phone and drive for miles and nothing would ever happen. You're always going to connect. And I'm no expert on these things, but basically how it works, the reason there's so many towers is supposedly you make a call, a tower picks you up. If you keep driving, you lose range of that tower. Another tower picks you up and just keeps going. Well, we got major freeways, and again, people outside of Dallas don't understand this, but if you've ever driven on Central Expressway in Dallas, Texas, some of the most expensive homes, businesses on the planet line this thing, and you get dropped calls. You can be in the middle of a business call, something hugely important, and you almost know don't run through certain canyons or you're going to get lost. It's very frustrating. And sometimes the towers get overloaded because they can only take so many calls, and so there's all that detail of that. But when you're on the phone and you lose it, it's very frustrating. Now, unless somebody's hanging up on you, go, oh, I must have lost you. That's also a good technique a lot of people have figured out. I must have, gone out of range. Turn to Isaiah chapter 59, and I'm going to talk to you today about a couple of dropped calls. Now, I'm not going to spend the time today completely in Isaiah 58, and if you don't know where Isaiah is, you got a table of contents in front of your Bible, find Isaiah, there's a page number, all the chapters are broken out. Originally, the Bible did not have any numbers, by the way. It was just text, and the numbers were added so that we could find things easier, chapters and verses, so it's just a tool. But Isaiah chapter 59 is where we'll be. But if you look in Isaiah 58, it happens to be one of my favorite passages in all the scripture because there's a secret weapon. And I think the biggest secret weapon in the Christian arsenal, and it's fasting. And a lot of people think this is some obsolete thing that you shouldn't do anymore. It's just quacks and monks and weird people fast. You're going to get desperate sooner or later. And you're going to need something to happen. And if somebody explains to you the power of fasting over sin in your own life, helping somebody else, whatever it may be, healing, whatever's going on, if you get a hold of fasting, things will change. Fasting is addressed in chapter 58. And one of the challenges in chapter 58 is that God's people were fasting, but it was not for the right reasons. They were doing it for show. They were religious people. They were just trying to say, hey, we fast. We give up food, we do the deal, but their heart was not right. Something was still not working. So that's the context of chapter 58, and God is addressing this with them saying, you look good, you sound good, you look like you're doing all the right things, but something is still wrong. Now look at Isaiah 59. Now I'm going to do something pretty unusual today. I'm going to read you a chapter out of the Bible. And people say, well, what does the Bible have to do with today? You're going to see yourself. You're going to see the world around you. This is going on today, just like it was back then. And in some ways, it's not even worse. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So what's the problem? But your iniquities have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. It doesn't mean that he can't hear. It's just a dropped call. And you say, well, is it possible that I could be fasting and God not hear me? Now listen close because I'm going to say it simply up front. And then I'm going to try to move through this. If you are harboring sin, you're going to get a dropped call every time. And you say, well, but I've got this problem, God, but I really need you to do something for my mom. I need you to do something for my dad, my husband, my wife, my kids, my business. God, we'll get to that later. He says, no, we won't get to that later. We're going to get to that right now, or we're not moving forward. You can bring your sin in here and tell me you've got it and let's deal with it, but don't bring it in here and then try to leave with it like nothing's going on. Now, the other call that I want to talk to you about today, and this is not popular stuff, and this, again, we'll never grow a church preaching this stuff, but oh well. There's a call in this book to be holy. God says, be holy like I'm holy. And you say, well, you know, that's up there, but that's a standard. That's a high standard. That's an ideal. And I wrestle with these ideals. Say, well, is that really an ideal or is it possible? Why would he put something in there if it wasn't possible? Why would he declare me holy if I couldn't live holy? And then I, through my week at least, dealing with people, I say, God, you know what? It's unreasonable. I'm screwed up. I got enough problems. Forget trying to help other people. Look at me. I struggle. And you want me to be holy? And then so I try because I'm a preacher or whatever, an elder in a church, and I got to live up to this standard somehow. You know what? God's not interested in me living up to it because it's my job. He wants me to live up to it because it's who I am. And it's because who he is in me. And I think, well, Lord, let's just back off the standard. Let's just show more mercy and grace and allow for people sin some more. You know, then the more people will come and we can reach more people. You know, if we take the Jack Daniel and just add a lot of water, it'll go farther. Right? If we just serve it up straight, it won't go as far. But see, you don't need Christianity on the rocks. You need the hard stuff because the hard stuff makes your life better. It makes my life better. So what's the problem? The Lord's hand's not shortened that it can't save. His ear's not heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. He's not going to listen with that stuff going on. Now, does anybody ever wonder, say, you know what? I'm praying like mad and I can't get any answers to my prayer. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe you ought to start, Lord, I'll tell you what let's do before I come asking for anything. Let's do a sweep. Holy Spirit, you got permission to do a sweep in my house. You can go through my heart, my mind, everything I am, everything I got. Do a sweep. And whatever you find, it's got to go. It's out of here. You willing to let the Holy Spirit do a sweep through your house, through your heart? You start running everything in your life through that grid, you're in trouble. But you're not in trouble. Your life is going to change dramatically. God is not trying to withhold any good thing from his children, from his people. But are you willing to ask the question? Are you willing to get permission for anything, for everything? I tried to go shopping the other day. I found a place that everything was on sale. I saved a bunch of money because I couldn't get permission to buy a dadgum thing in the whole store. I picked out stuff. I mean, I actually picked up clothes and walked around with them and made them to the front. And then I had to put them back down. And they were on sale and it's cheap stuff. It's not how much it is. It's just, are you willing to say, God, nothing anymore, nothing. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm not going to buy anything. I'm not going to be anything unless somehow it points to you. Because whatsoever is not of faith, the book says, is sin. And if there's sin, I'm going to get a drop call. And I don't need you not hearing me, God. I got too much going on for there to be stuff that I can control messing up our relationship. Now, you say, well, that's not the kind of Christianity I'm looking for. Then I don't know what the heck kind of Christianity you're looking for, because there isn't any other kind. There's a lukewarm, make God want to spit Christianity, because it's so watered down, and take a little of that, and it'll be okay, and that's what grace is for, you know. Let's use some more up. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. Anybody fit in there yet? No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch vipers' eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies. And from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Listen to verse 7. Their feet run to evil. Do you ever get in a place where you just start thinking about some sin, some special sin in your life, some particular favorite of yours, and you lock in on it, and you just can't wait to go do some sinful thing? Get off of work. For some guys, it's just, man, got to get to the liquor store. I'm going to get me a fifth of something and fix this. For some guys, it's a strip club. Just can't wait all day long thinking about it. Lunch. Can't even wait till after work. Going to a strip club at lunch. Get the buffet. Feet run to evil. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. Let me throw one out here. And I don't want anybody misunderstanding this. There's some, you know, professional football player out there who gets caught. Stuff going on his property with dogs, okay? Now track with me a minute. I've almost written some letters to editors this week. We are throwing fits, and I'm not saying dogs should be fighting. It happens. We should stop that. But we are in such a twisted world now in a country that's completely lost its mind that we will scream and holler and protest and say the guy should never play ball again, and all day long babies are being killed all over this country, and nobody says jack. Now you say, well, you're not for saving the animals. Forget the animals. Let's just start with people for a minute. You want to scream up and down and protest, get all those people trying to save the dogs, trying to save some babies, and I'm with you on the dog thing now. But it's absurd. Now, and if you hear that and go, well, I don't think that's right. We should protect those little poor animals. You're messed up too then. You're in the list. I'm reading about you. We've lost complete perspective of what justice is. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Take a drive some Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, any town, USA, this town specifically. Late night, don't go till about 11:30 or 12. Take a little drive through the hot spots in our city. Evil doesn't get cranking till late. Evil waits till late. And I think to myself, you know, you drive down the street, hear these hot chicks, short dresses, short shorts, hair done. They look like $1 million. Bait. The best bait you can find. And what is going on? You say, well, what is that girl doing? Well, I'm going to go find me what? Mr. Right? Mr. Right Now? And of course, there are all these fine gentlemen out there just waiting at midnight. They're out there looking for a wife. I don't think so. They're waiting for some stupid chick, some hot chick to walk in the door. They can buy some drinks for her, get her tanked up, get her in their car, in their apartment, her apartment, get them in the sack and get rid of them and go find another one. Maybe we can do two in a night. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Those people are just having fun. You know what? All that fun ends up in my office where I got to help unravel that fun. Because people have screwed their whole lives up chasing the fun. You got to start calling evil, evil, and good, good. Verse 8, the way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. Look at the rest of this verse. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. You say, oh, I just wish I had some peace in my life. Peace and sin don't go hand in hand. You cannot harbor sin and have peace. You want peace with God, the peace of God, you're going to have to confess some sin. Now, if you let the Holy Spirit do a sweep and he comes through and cleans your house, I'm going to tell you what you're going to have. Peace. When the sin is dealt with, you got peace. And there are people on this planet who don't realize it. They'd give everything they own just to have a few moments of peace. Verse 8, therefore justice is far from us. And I love this word he uses in verse 9. Isaiah uses the word us. I don't get up here preaching at you. I have to read all this mess before I even get up here. It's an us. Justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. Listen to this description. We look for light, but there's darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. We all growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and then look at this phrase, and as for our iniquities, we know them. I know exactly what gets between me and God, and so do you. And you say, well, I'm going to set that aside. I'm going to push that away. I don't want to deal with that right now. I'll do that later. You know what? Later turns into tomorrow, turns into the rest of your life. You drop dead and nothing happens. And you say, I feel like my life was a waste. You're wasting it then. Verse 13, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. So truth fails. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The people who run from evil end up being the ones that are hunted down. Now look how it changes. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And then look at verse 20. The Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgressions in Jacob, says the Lord. And who is the Redeemer? Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. And when does it turn? When he shows up. And who does it turn for? Those who turn from transgressions. You know what you don't hear a lot about anymore is repentance. Not being sorry for being so sorry, but coming to God and saying, look, I'm tired of loving what you hate. At some point, you're going to get sick of your sin or something's not working. And I'm always fascinated by the people who say, well, I don't have to listen to this. You know what? You're exactly right. You don't have to listen to it. But it's in here and it's not changing. And your life's not changing until you do something about it. The problem is not God being hard of hearing. It's that we are hard of hearing. We are the dull of hearing. Or we hear it and we don't like what we hear. And we think, well, he ain't going to do anything. I'll just go on and live my life like I want to. And then consequence shows up and we go, oh God, why are you doing this to me? What did I do to you? Then 21, he says, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. And I thank God that's true. Because hopefully these are not just my words. Clearly they're not. I'm reading it straight out of Scripture. And the Scripture mixed with the Spirit of God brings about change. But if you don't start somewhere, it's not going anywhere. Now, here's what I'd like you to do today. You got some prayers you want answered? This isn't going to be a big guessing game. Your call to action is this. I want you just to say, Holy Spirit, what is it? You know just like that. Everybody in the room knows just like that. If you genuinely ask, he's not playing hide and go seek. You know exactly what the thing is you got to go to work on next, right? Now here's where you're going to lock up and your life's either going to change or it's not. Is if you get proud and stubborn and hard-headed and hard-hearted, you are stuck right where you are, but worse than that, you'll start to slide backwards. You say, well, no, I'll just hold where I am. No, you won't. When you flush a toilet, water just doesn't go in circles. It goes in circles somewhere. And if you decide to flush your life, you're going backwards. That's why they call it like backsliding. If you're not moving forward, you are sliding back. If you've got sin you've got to deal with, I am making a strong recommendation to say, okay, God, whatever it is, yes, sir, I'm going to confess it. And if you can't deal with it by yourself, get some help. If you need some accountability, get accountability. For God's sake and your sake and the prayers that you're praying's sake, get some people around you and deal with this stuff. You say, oh, but I'm going to give this up and I'll be miserable. If you're going to be so miserable giving it up, how do you explain being so miserable now with it? Something would be better than this.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, I thank you for the simplicity that's in the gospel. And I thank you that when it gets right down to it, all of our excuses and justification and rationalization for our behavior and the choices that we make, Lord, just get down to either we're obeying you or we're not. Either we're living with sin or we're not. Either we're willing to deal with this stuff your way and repent, change our mind, and stop saying that what we say is okay and what you say is right is wrong, and start saying that the stuff we're calling right and you call wrong is really what you say, Lord, it's wrong. And I pray, Lord, that people understand this isn't about a bunch of do's and don'ts and quitting this or that. Father, it's just doing what you tell us to do where we are in our lives at the moment. And anybody trying to give up something to prove that they're holy is never going to make it anyway, Lord. The only way we're going to be holy is for you to make us holy. And when Jesus died on that cross, the Redeemer came and bought us back, was buried, raised from the dead, shed his blood there to pay for our sin, to make the power over sin available to us, and to declare us holy, Lord. We just need to live up to what you've said we are, whatever that is along the way, Lord, whatever you call to our attention. When you do that sweep, Holy Spirit, help us be willing to trust you and realize it may be painful. Sure, it's going to be painful. Sin is painful. Giving up sin may be painful. There'll be withdrawals of some kind, Lord. But the joy, the peace, the relationship restored with you, Lord, is way better than anything that we're cashing in on living in sin. Father, I know for some people today this may be scary stuff. The place they really need to start is just deciding whether they're going to even have a relationship with you in the first place. May somebody today just realize maybe for the first time who Jesus is, that he did live a sinless life, that he came to die on a cross, be buried, raised from the dead, to purchase a place for us in heaven, that he offers as a free gift, to provide for us free of charge the forgiveness of sin, a clean slate, a new beginning, a fresh start, Lord. May somebody today reach out the hands of their heart, as it were, and say, God, I realize I've screwed up. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I can't hide this stuff anymore and just call it problems or bad habits. I need you, God. Thank you for loving me enough to come after me, and Jesus, for being willing to die for me. I accept the forgiveness of my sin. I accept this gift of eternal life. I ask you to come live in me and through me and change me from the inside out, one step at a time, one day at a time, and help me see the wisdom in confessing my sin, knowing that you are faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Father, let there be nothing in our lives that would keep us from hearing you. And worst of all, Lord, nothing in our lives that would keep you from hearing us as we cry out to you, Lord. We need you. We desperately need you. But we can't hold on to this junk at the same time. Father, give us repentance if we don't even have it. If we're unwilling to repent, Lord. Thank you that it's your kindness, it's your gentleness that leads us to repent, to change our mind. And I pray, Father, that for those that take this step today, for some it's literally becoming a Christian, Lord. For others it's picking up where they left off, Lord, living the Christian life, a holy life, a changed life, willing to submit to your authority, willing to confess whatever sin, and willing to walk a separated, holy life, Lord. Thank you for the consequence, the blessing that comes from that, and confirm in people's hearts and lives that they've done the right thing, Lord, by restoring the peace maybe that's been lost, the joy of your salvation, Lord. There is no joy in our salvation because we couldn't save anything if we tried. Thank you for the joy of your salvation. Father, thank you for a high standard. And I pray that we would live in such a way in a world around us, Lord, that people would not see a bunch of religious idiots just going through motions, trying to keep rules, but that they would see the great joy that we have, having trusted you and followed you and obeyed you, and that something about our lives, Lord, would be contagious, that it would be attractive, Lord, to somebody, and that we would always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within us, that it would be so obvious, Lord, that we know you and you know us, and there is no better way to live. There is nothing that we could give up that wouldn't make following you worth it. You're the best. Thank you for showing up here today, Father. Holy Spirit, continue to do your work in our lives today and this week. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.